Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Glory be to God. Welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus. Hallelujah. Every Day with Jesus. It's been insightful, powerful, amazing. I've been getting feedbacks from people talking about how much they've been blessed, enriched, and enlightened by these teachings. Hallelujah. So let's continue. In the last episode, we saw how that all the apostles taught the same message. They had the singular message. I mean, they all heard Jesus give them instruction, go into the world and preach remission of sins in my name. And so they entered the world with the same mission. They ran with the same message. And we also saw how that the apostle Paul was the only apostle that was not with them at that point in time. But then when he had that encounter with Jesus, Jesus handed to him the same message. Why? Because Jesus is the same. Hebrews 13 and 8 to 9. It says, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Therefore, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Have you seen? Because Jesus is consistent, because Jesus is the same, his doctrine must be consistent. His doctrine must be the same. Because Jesus is the same, we must beware of any kind of doctrine. Hallelujah. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says, therefore, do not be carried about by every strange and various doctrine. So what is the doctrine we are meant to focus on? It says, it is good that they had to be established by grace. Hallelujah. So that tells you that everything contrary to the grace of God is a strange doctrine. Those are the strange and various doctrines. Things contrary to the grace of God, because it takes the grace of God to establish us and to build us up in the faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 20:32 says, so then, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of his grace is a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross for you and I, the benefits of redemption, that which we have become, that which we have, that which we have, that which we can do because of our position and identity in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of our position and identity in Christ Jesus. The truth about our inheritance in Christ Jesus. This was the message that the apostles taught. This was the message that Paul received in his encounter with Jesus. And that's why they gave him the right hand of fellowship. They acknowledged him. They acknowledged his ministry, his apostleship, because his message was consistent with the same message they were arousing at that time. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In this episode, let us walk through scriptures and see what they called the word in the early church. Starting from the book of Acts. What exactly did they call the word in Bible days? God's word. The word. The word. The word. You see, many years back, I remember a friend of mine invited me to a group of Christians who were planning to have a meeting, and then so they were converging regularly, having discussions about the meetings and doing rehearsal. So they brought me in, and then I got to the meeting and, you know, they were saying so much about the word, and they kept saying, it's time for us to preach the word. You know, there are lots of things out there. It's time for the word. It's time for the word. And, you know, I was very excited in my innocence and naivety. I was very excited. I mean, wow, I'm in the right place. Yes, the word. Yes, I'm all for the word. And then to my shock, by the time they began to teach and share the things they intend to spread across the campus as the word, I was shocked. I mean, I was shocked. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. Hallelujah. You know, because a lot of people have an idea that, or they have this idea that anything that crosses their minds as an inspiration, anything that, you know, they teach differently from what others are saying is God's word to them. And it's God's word through them. That's what God has sent them to preach. So whatever they are saying, as long as they have some scriptural backings here and there, must be the word. It's amazing that you can shout, word, 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 preach it in a church meeting, but the preacher is not preaching the word. We could have a sermon of 5 hours, a sermon of 12 hours, a lengthy public discourse that is full of scriptures, and the man is not preaching the word. Do you realize that the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the chief priests and the elders in Israel, do you realize that they were preaching whatever they were preaching from the Bible, from the scriptures? Do you realize this? That they were reading the scriptures on every Sabbath, yet they were not preaching the word. Because the word is not everything that you can just say. The word is not just quoting scriptures. The word is rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. study to show yourself approved, the workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you could be quoting left, right, center if your explanations are not rightly dividing the truth, if your explanations are not hitting the nail on the head and revealing to us, rather projecting to us, the core of Jesus' death and resurrection, then you are not preaching the word. John 5:39-40. I like this scripture so much. I've quoted it. I know I've quoted it earlier on in this broadcast. How that Jesus says to them, you said the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. Now, these are they who testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me. Imagine that they were searching the scriptures. They were quoting the scriptures, but they did not understand the message of the scriptures. In the scriptures, they thought they had eternal life, but Jesus is the one that gives eternal life. Now, Jesus taught eternal life from the same scriptures by pointing to himself. So there can be no preaching of God's word. You can't be said to be a preacher of God's word until you are pointing to Christ and his finished work. Glory be to God. That's why 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 2, he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech nor wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything amongst you except Christ and him crucified. Have you seen? Because that's the word. So let's look through scriptures and see how, and see what they refer to as the word in the early church. And what we must refer to as the word today, because whatever they call the word is the word. And that's what we must refer to as the word today. So while the Bible contains several words, the Bible contains several teachings, several words, several authors, speakers, yet there's a central theme called the word. Praise God. There's a central theme called the word. Singular, not words, the word. And that's the word that Jesus sent the disciples to proclaim. Let's start from Acts 4:31. Hallelujah. Acts 4:31. Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What was this word of God that they were speaking with boldness? If you have an understanding, or if you are familiar with this portion of scripture, Acts 4, this was when the apostles were threatened not to preach again in the name of Jesus. If you read verse 2 of Acts 4, Bible says, or let me start from verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So that's the gospel. So they were preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. At verse 10, Peter speaking says, let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven by which, among men, by which we must be saved. So they were preaching the gospel, what Jesus did. His death, his resurrection, and the salvation that comes to men that believe in him. So they forbade them from preaching this gospel. They threatened them. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Have you seen? What they were attacking was the Christ. And the Christ cannot be separated from his work. That's why you find the phrase Christ and him crucified in the Bible. Against Christ. So they were threatening the apostles to not preach again in the name of Jesus. To not preach the work of Christ. Hallelujah. Now if you look at verse 29... Now look on their threats. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. So what does he refer to? What were they referring to as your word? The same thing they were arrested for. The same thing they were beaten for. The same thing they were commanded and forbidden from preaching. Jesus' death, resurrection, and his salvation that comes to men that believe in his name. So that's what they call the word here. Look at Acts 6:7. The word, not words, not many words, but the word, a singular message. Acts 6:7. Then the word of God spread, the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Have you seen? So the word, what they call the word here, is that which brought many folks into the faith. Is that which brought many priests, which brought many priests to the faith. Bible says they were obedient to the faith. To be obedient to the faith actually means to believe in the gospel. Hallelujah. The gospel. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 14. So the word is not just many things. The word is the gospel. Acts 8, 14. Bible says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. They had received the word of God. Samaria received the word of God. What was the word of God received in Samaria? Look at Acts 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So the word that they received in Samaria is the preaching of Christ. Hallelujah. Preaching of Christ. Preaching of Christ. At verse 12, he further adds the kingdom of God. I think we explained this in the earlier episodes, how that the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, is the same thing as the gospel of Christ, as the gospel of the grace of God. It's about the new birth, salvation by faith. So at verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So what they call the word of God in Acts 8 again is the preaching concerning Jesus' death and resurrection. And this is the thing concerning the kingdom of God. These are the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Acts 11, 1. Acts 11, verse 1. Glory be to Jesus. Acts 11, 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. What were they referring to as the word of God in this place? They were referring to Peter's ministry in the house of Cornelius. Peter's ministry to Cornelius and his household. That's what they referred to as the Gentiles receiving the word of God. What exactly did Peter preach in the house of Cornelius? Hallelujah. Let me show you some of the things Peter preached at verse 40. Let me start from verse 49. It says, and we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. So he speaks of his resurrection. Hallelujah, which is the gospel. And then he gets to verse 43. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. The substance of the gospel, the very essence of Jesus' death and resurrection, remission of sins. To him all the prophets, have you seen that even all the prophets in the Old Testament had a singular message, a central theme, a collective witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that results in remission of sins to them that believe? Hallelujah. To him all the prophets, not some, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. I love verse 44. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them that heard the word. The first time I saw this clearly was in a meeting with Reverend Ade Adebayo in Ilorin. That was my first time of listening to him. And he explained this portion of scripture. He said, while Peter was yet speaking these words, while he was preaching, saying many things, the Holy Ghost fell upon them that heard the word, the message. So while he was speaking words, the words of the preacher, several illustrations could come. You know, if you read from the beginning of Peter's discussion, not everything he said in this place was actually the gospel. He was going somewhere. He started by saying, oh, God doesn't show partiality. He was, you know, talking about how Cornelius was reached in spite of being a Gentile. That's not the gospel. He was going somewhere. But he got to a point, he began to hit the nail on the head. You notice that the moment he mentioned, he said what he said in verse 43, that was the word. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. The moment he said this, Bible says, while he was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. Hallelujah. The gospel was communicated. So at Acts 11 verse 1, the word they said the Gentiles received is the same gospel. Jesus' death and resurrection. sacrifice for sin. Hallelujah. How Jesus died and rose again for our sins and our justification. Glory be to God. So you see that in the book of Acts, not many things were referred to as the word. You don't have a right to call anything the word. There was a time in the church where motivational speakers began to spring up from every corner. People thought just being able to speak and being able to hold your audience spellbound was the way. People thought being able to speak and perform as a public speaker was what was involved in preaching. Listen to this. How we preach, the delivery is not as important as the content. Glory be to Jesus. That's why a man can be very eloquent or rhetorical. You can be erudite in speech and yet be missing the vital truth of the gospel. And yet, the truth of the gospel is not found in your words. Now, let me quickly say this. Words are very powerful. This world has witnessed several speeches given by great men and women in this world. Speeches that held men spellbound. Speeches that led people to take actions. Speeches that led to revolution. So you can be sounding very oratorical, sounding very, very powerful. Your speech is smooth and clean. Your intonation, your accent, everything is on point. That does not in any way mean you are preaching God's word. Hallelujah. Being able to make rhymes is not the same as preaching God's word. You can't feature in a future you have not pictured. See, that's not the gospel. Hallelujah. I remember saying to somebody and saying in the church setting also that see, that rhyme does not even make sense in the light of scriptures. Because what about Joseph's brothers? They didn't picture the future. They featured in it. In fact, in grand style. They featured well. Yet, they were the ones that didn't believe in the dreams of Joseph. They were the ones that sold him because they were envious of him because of his dreams. Yet, they featured in the future. So, see, being able to come up with rhymes. If you are suffering, check your offering. Anointing without money is annoyance. That in itself is annoying. Praise God. That rhyme itself is annoying. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. It's not about an intellectual presentation. It's not about sounding academic. It's not about sounding knowledgeable and sounding very literate. It's not about sounding... there's such a thing as the wisdom of this world. Glory be to God. Let's see 1 Corinthians 2 again. There's such a thing as the wisdom of this world. So if a man must be academic in the church, he must be academic with the word. Praise God. If a man must sound literate, he must sound literate in the light of the scriptures. If a man must sound knowledgeable, he must sound knowledgeable according to the wisdom of God. Not that you think because you got the first class in school, you came out as one of the best students, you have what it takes to enter any place. I'm always amazed when people are invited to church based on the strength of their academic excellence. It's always funny. That you're a professor does not mean you have a right to the pulpit in the church. Because there's such a thing as human wisdom. And there's God's wisdom. The gospel is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. An illiterate can communicate it in a language that he understands well. An illiterate can communicate the gospel in his native language and it will be a blessing to men. A man who is well educated, who is learned, who is literate, void of the gospel of Christ is not a blessing to us in the church. Is not a blessing to us in the church. Such a man must be well taught first. Glory be to God. We see the case of Apollos in the book of Acts. Apollos was mighty in scriptures, was eloquent. Yet, he wasn't preaching the gospel accurately. They had to take him aside to explain to him more accurately the gospel of Christ. Because where the preaching of the gospel is, eloquence doesn't cut it. Hallelujah. This does not mean a preacher cannot be eloquent or rhetorical. I mean, why are we educated? If I went to school to study and I know how to speak the language very well, I mean, it's good. But that is not my ground of confidence or boasting as a preacher. It's about what I am saying, not really about how I'm saying it. It's about what am I saying? 1 Corinthians 2. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians 2. I have to run to close now. 1 Corinthians 2. From verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in more trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Have you seen that? There's such a thing as human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. So the word in Bible days, in the early church, is the gospel. Not many things. Not because you can wow and daze your audience with your being vast in the affairs of this life. Hallelujah. When you start preaching and then 30, 40 minutes into your sermon, you've not quoted a single scripture, you've not explained anything from the Bible, but you are citing examples from football, citing examples from, oh God, from politics, politicians. You are quoting Obama, quoting Hillary Clinton, quoting all manner of secular authors. It's amazing. That's not the gospel. Hallelujah. That's not the gospel. The preacher of the Bible must preach from the Bible. That's why you're a Bible teacher. Glory be to God. So what they call the word in the early church was nothing apart from the gospel. So you can't be said, you couldn't have been said to be a preacher of God's word if you were not preaching the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. You couldn't have been said to be a preacher of the word if you were not preaching the gospel of Christ. As a matter of fact, if you were preaching anything separate from the gospel, then the apostles will have branded you as a heretic. And they will have warned men of you. Because the gospel is the only thing they refer to as the word in Bible days. Glory be to God. God's word. God's word is the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 13:26. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Are you learning something? Are you being blessed? Acts 13:26. Now, if you are hearing this for the first time, if you are not used to this kind of, you know, teaching that shows you how the gospel, the word of God, is singular. It's a particular emphasis. Jesus' death and resurrection, and there's no space for motivational speaking. There's no space for earthly wisdom. There's no space for human philosophy and traditions. There's no space for the commandments of men. And then you are getting agitated. You are getting angry. You are getting sad. See, I want to plead with you in the name of Jesus. Just give the word of God a chance. Give the word of God a fair chance. Let the word of God change your orientation and perspective, not the other way around. Don't try to bend the word of God to your whims and caprices. Don't try to bend the word of God to your own philosophy. Let the word of God alter your philosophy. Let it change your orientation. Let it change your thought pattern. Let it renew your mind. I want to plead with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Receive the word with all meekness. With all meekness and humility. Acts 13:26. Glory to God. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. So the word is called the word of this salvation. Glory be to God. The word of this salvation. Acts 13:44-49. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw that the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. What was he referring to as the word of God? But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. So the word of God he was referring to is the word that brings everlasting life, the same gospel. Verse 47, for so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. The gospel, the word of God, is that which brings salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. This is what they call the word of God. The word that brings eternal life. Verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. And the word of God here also is the same gospel of Christ. Praise God. The same gospel of Christ. So we are not preaching the word until we are preaching Jesus' death and resurrection. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, isn't this so rigid? Don't let's be rigid. Don't let's box God. No, you're not getting the point. We're not the ones trying to box God. It's God that has boxed us. Praise God. Yeah, because the gospel is not our initiative. It's not our wisdom. We're not the ones who came up with something and said, see, God, fit into this. No, it was the one who sent us with a singular message and restricted us to that message. So it's not us boxing God. It's God boxing us. Yeah, and he has a right to box us because we didn't die for the world. He has a right to box us because he is the one that paid the price. It's his work and it's his message. So he has restricted us. The gospel is God's initiative. So he has restricted us and boxed us to that message. Hallelujah. The preacher of the gospel must see himself as a town crier. When the king sends you with a message, you don't go there and start improvising and innovating and saying, well, the king said this, but I think I feel. Ah, what are you feeling? Praise God. You go with what the king told you to say, exactly how he sent you to say it. Bible says he who speaks must speak as the very oracle of God. The word oracle of God there is actually the word. So it means you must speak without any self-involvement. You must speak without any selfish interference. Speak as the very oracle of God. You must speak as though God himself were present on the face of the earth physically saying these things to men. Hallelujah. So we are ambassadors for Christ. We preach the gospel, which is the word of God. We'll continue to explore this in the next episode. Tune in tomorrow and have a great time again. Invite your friends. Share the links on your social media pages and accounts. Put it on your WhatsApp status. Tell a friend about it. God's word is happening here live and direct. Hallelujah. God's word is happening here. Changing lives. It's changing lives. Bringing illumination. Enlightening our hearts. Nourishing us. Building us up. In the faith. Hallelujah. 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 I'm so excited about what God is going to be doing in the next few days, weeks, months, and years. I'm so excited. I know the things I heard about this broadcast. I know the things we've seen about this broadcast. And it brings joy to my heart to know that you are listening and you are paying attention to these things. It's a privilege for us to be alive at this point in time. The earth is about to see a great outpouring of the knowledge of Christ. A great spread, a widespread of the truth of Christ. I know these things. I'm convinced about these things. Hallelujah. So invite people, tell your friends, talk about it, and let them come and have a great time in the Word of God again. So have a great day, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word, being full of the Spirit, full of the Word. Sing a spiritual song after this teaching. Sing a spiritual song and go on praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't just listen to the word and just go your way. No, pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Lebro sopalia dakatuzos el libro consovranda dish katarande. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep praying. Keep praying. Pray all day. Hallelujah. Sing spiritual songs. Stay full of the Holy Ghost and of the Word of God. Hallelujah. See you in the next episode.